Verse 20, he said, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. I was saying that you find out that, like we said earlier, that what you hear is actually what creates imaginations in you and what moves you. And if you were not there, I recommend that you go and listen to this tape that I wanted to title the second hearing, but Oyinka Chukwu insisted that releasing the power that's in the world is more appropriate. So in our spiritual power series, there's one of the tapes titled Releasing the Power That's in the Word. We discussed what I called there the second hearing. That faith comes by hearing and hearing. That if you shall listen, listening. There is a way God rates these things. So what he's saying here, give attention to my words. That everybody can hear it, but you need to give attention to it. That is second hearing. Jesus will say, he that has ears, let him hear. I'm saying these things to a multitude, yet he's saying, amongst them, some people will hear and some will not hear. Yet they were all listening. So here, wisdom is telling us here, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings. If you hear the sayings of God, it will move you. Like Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. All right. He said, do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. He said, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their whole body. This is where I'm going. I just like reading scriptures in context. But the main attention here is verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Already King James says, the issues of life. I want you to understand something here. It said, guard your heart. You have to understand what it means to guard. Mount an armed guard. Form a garrison around your heart. What he was saying is this. Be careful what goes in. Be careful what moves you. Be careful. Jesus will say, be careful how you hear. That's why I read this in context. Give attention to my words. It's the word of God that will guard your heart. The reason he's emphasizing is this. Because what you will experience in life will be a product of what is inside your heart. Do you understand the point I am making? I said we are talking about the king's way and the due season. Actually, what God is saying to us is that I cannot bless you more than you're able to receive. Let me go back and say something. You have to understand that wealth, we explained, is an endowment. The race is not to the swift. Paul said it's actually God that shows mercy. It is not of him that wills. It is not because you have determined. Do you follow what I'm saying? I have seen men who swore to be rich and who became poor. In fact, the Bible says that the man with an evil eye pursues after wealth, but does not know that poverty will overcome him. That's why Paul said, it is not him that determines. He said, it's not of him that wills. That you have made up your mind, in this life I must make it. There are people you know who determine like that and did not even live long enough to make it. There are those who determined and they ended up being poor. I've said one of the things I have found out in just my short years of observing life. I'm still a young man, yet I've not even been observing life all my life. It's just as after I grew and I understood the word of God. I have found that a lot of times, the things people do to bring them out of poverty into abundance is the very thing that will lead them into greater poverty. Let me give a very practical one. There are some many that are more subtle. In fact, before I give a practical example, Ben Carson says something when I was reading his book, I think Gifted Hands or Think Big, one of the two. Ben Carson. For those of you who don't know Ben Carson, you should go and know Ben Carson, all right? Go to the internet and go and find out who is Ben Carson. All right. Now, Ben Carson said, when you tell a lot of young people to be disciplined, you know, you put restriction upon them. That, you know, he is a black man who was disadvantaged, single mother, you know, apart from being black, had a single, which is very common among the blacks in the U.S. His mother was not even educated. She had to struggle to make them succeed in life. Now, he said that that he hears parents say, I don't know how to keep my children away from the television. He said he doesn't understand what it means, because when he was young, What kept them away was that mommy said, don't go there, period. There was nothing more than that. So are you telling him now that parents can't keep their children away from doing things? So he was warning children that, listen, you say that they are putting too much restriction upon you. He said, those who usually don't like laws and restrictions end up in a place of greater laws and greater restrictions, in jail. He said, in jail, you are told when to wake up. You are told when to go and eat. You are told when to have a bath. You are told when to go back and have siesta. You are told when to sleep at night. You are told what to wear. Of course, you can't wear just what you like. They determine who you can see and who you can't see. Why? Because simple restrictions they placed upon you, you rejected it. Oh, look, I keep on quoting proverbs from my place. Sometimes I think Africans are actually almost as wise as Chinese. You know, Chinese have very dangerous proverbs. My people have a saying. It says, any man who's rejecting suffering when he's not big enough to reject suffering is only signing up for a bigger one. So you see a poor man, come and carry sand, I will pay you. He said, me, I'm too big to carry sand. But he's poor. Hunger will kill him. I just use that to explain what it means. So Ben Carson was explaining to people that, listen, you don't want laws, you don't want restrictions. That will end you in a place where they will impose it upon you by force. That's why God told the children of Israel, if you don't serve the Lord gladly from the bottom of your heart, freely, you will serve your enemies forcefully, compulsorily. Go and see what the Romans did to the Jews. You will fear tyranny. You know, look, good enough, America is the strongest country in the world today, but they are not vicious people, really. You know, democracy, all these kind of things. You can imagine if they were not a democracy and they are strong as they are. Do you know why, physical reason why the Romans leveled Jerusalem to fulfill the prophecy of Jesus? Because there was rebellion. Okay, you guys won't take it easy. They killed everybody they saw, leveled every building. God told them, if you don't serve God freely, willing, that is, you by yourself submit to the laws of God, you will find out that your enemies will rule over you forcefully. Now, why did I get here? I was explaining that a lot of things people do to lead them away from poverty is actually sending them further into poverty. Do you get my point? The one I give as a practical example all the time, sorry, women, I have nothing against women, all right? Anytime I preach, you feel like this guy is talking against women. Well, I observed it. There are young women who feel, I've seen them again and again. They feel that they have suffered in life. Meanwhile, if really they have not suffered, though, they have not seen suffering. I mean, the people that you see sometimes, they went to school. Their parents paid their school fees. You understand my point? They're in school. I mean, they had the education. I mean, most of the people I know, I went to university. So, I mean, and the person is feeling like, I have suffered. After all, my mates enjoyed. Oh, why don't you go and see your mates that have to sell groundnuts to eat every morning? You know, you don't see that one. You only see all the ones that are shining and enjoying, you know, that kind of thing. So a lot of them swear because of that. And parents encourage it. A lot of parents. Because of that, when they see somebody like you, you can't marry them. You don't have money yet. Kingsley, nothing for you. You're still struggling. Nothing. This young man, nothing. When you appear, they go, just look. So God actually spoke to you that you should marry me. God did not tell you how expensive I am. Eh? Do you look like you can afford me? You know, just like you're laughing now, all the devils will be laughing also, and the angels will be shaking their heads. The devil will look and say, well, I've got this one. That she's returning back into poverty. Because he said, the one with an evil eye chases after wealth, but does not know that poverty overcome him. What I'm explaining, that wealth is an endowment from God. It's a kingdom that God rules over, and he gives to whosoever he wills. That's the point I'm emphasizing. It is not of him that wills to have it. It is of the Lord that shows mercy. Listen, God's mercies are not spontaneous. He doesn't just throw it and say, anybody that mercy lands upon, come. He said, his mercies are everlasting upon them that fear him. Are you getting my point? Listen, we don't have time to go through that. Go and read the tract, Are We All Equal Before God? You know, I've changed the title to Highly Esteemed until Joy came and said no. That title, no, it cannot be highly esteemed. So I went to a council. I sat my wife down and said, CEO, Joy came and said that I want to spoil this tract by changing the title to Highly Esteemed. So let it be announced to everybody now that the title has returned back to Are We All Equal Before God. This week, I shall change the title on the website also. But read that tract, you will understand what I'm saying. Read the one on predestination. I don't have time to go through all these things now. You understand what I'm saying. That mercy can be activated. Are you getting my point? And Jesus told us, he that shows mercy, what will happen? He will receive mercy. Is that not it? It's a very clear scripture. So if you say it's of God that shows mercy, Jesus said, you show mercy first. You will see the God that shows mercy. That is how wealth comes, as mercy that God shows unto you. But mercy can be activated. I don't have to go into that in details, but just know that. But what I want you to understand today is that God will look at your heart, and based upon what he sees, if he sees a prosperity and a king's mentality, he will send prosperity and a kingdom to you. Out of the heart, it says, flows forth the issues of life. That's what I'm trying to explain to us today. That we are talking about prosperity and abundance. It comes from your heart. Listen, the Bible says, as we read in Proverbs 23 just now, that wealth can grow wings. When they grow wings, let me ask you a question. When birds take wings and fly, they have a reason. There are birds that have migratory patterns. Weather, climate determine how they move. You know, it was said, I was reading one article long about earthquakes, that one of the earliest warnings about earthquakes is to watch how animals, insects, rats, and cops, how they are moving. In places that are earthquake prone, there's the way you watch their movement, you know earthquake is about to come. What I'm explaining is this: when the birds take their wings and fly, there's either a call from somewhere or something's driving them from one place. Do you follow what I'm saying? That God endows people with kingdoms. Wealth will flow towards you once God has looked at your heart and endowed you with it. Therefore, what you need is what? The preparation of the heart. I told you how God does it by his word. What you need to do is to get that king's mentality. We've been talking about it. The prosperity mentality. If you have it, listen, prosperity cannot fly by you and not land in your house. It's not possible. Rear a pigeon here. Carry it to Lagos. Release it. It goes into the air, spins around a few times, and takes a straight course back for Enugu. That's how prosperity is. There is a homing device. You know what they call homing device? Yes, that God has placed upon your abundance. What is waiting for is for signals from your heart, and it will flow towards you. It's not by struggle. What you will do that will physically manifest it will be forced upon you. Did you hear what I said? That when Jesus left the garden, after he had bled like that, without anybody touching him, after he had agonized before God, the events that came upon him afterwards did not ask his opinion. Decisions you will take that will take you to the place of abundance will not ask you what you think. The thing will just be forced upon you. Many people that have been blessed accidentally. You know what I mean? That's why Solomon said, it appears under the sun, time and chance happen to them. What we need to do, therefore, is to prepare by getting that king's mentality, by getting that prosperity mentality. There's some scripture. There are two things I want to understand. Look, that thing is big. It's plenty. I don't know where to start. I don't know where to end. But I'll just talk and keep on talking. Two things I want you to understand. Because, you see, we started this by saying that God, or along the line, we introduced the fact that God said, maybe we should read it. It will help us. I think, where did you read it then? Was it not Mark chapter 4? About the kingdom of God being like a seed that a man plants. Verse 30, Mark chapter 4. How shall we picture the kingdom of God? And by what parable shall we represent it? And Jesus thought for a while. He said, I have it. Listen to this. Verse 31. It is like a mustard seed which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is grown, grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. What I'm saying is that God said, this is the kingdom I'm going to release upon you. It will become so great that men will come from everywhere and come and nest under your shade. You know what that means? Thousands will work for you. You will pay them so well, their children will eat and be fat. God said, that's what I want to do. That's the kingdom. He said, how shall we liken the kingdom that God is giving to somebody? He gives it to you at number one Chimney Avenue at 5 p.m. on Saturdays by words. I'm telling you the truth. What you are hearing, words. Sometimes maybe you have to trek to get here so as to hear a word. God said it's a seed that has been planted. When it has fully grown, you will look back and you will look around. You will look back and know where it started from. How God planted his seeds with words over the years and watered them with words. And then you will look at where you are now and you will laugh. That this kingdom indeed has grown like a mighty tree and see all kinds of birds coming and nesting under its branches. Do you get my point? That's the kingdom that God is giving. But there's a point I want us to understand here. I said you should open somewhere before. Did I? Okay, yeah. I not said it. Leviticus chapter 19. No, before you get to Leviticus 19, open to Psalm 75. For not from the east, nor from the west, you know, nor from the desert of the south comes exaltation or promotion. But God is what? God is what? Answer me. Huh? Okay, sorry, verse 7. I was on my own. But God is what? The judge. What does he do being judge? He puts down one and exalts another. There is this principle in the scriptures that if you see it again, if you open to, don't bother opening to this, I will just quote it and we'll keep going because of time. When God was saying to Jeremiah, he said, this is what you are going to do with the words I'm giving you. He said, you will pluck up and break down, destroy and overthrow. After that, you will build and you will plant. God said, before I put up one, I first put down another. Are you following me in what I'm saying? Yes, sir. Should I just tell you, a lot of the money God wants to give you, somebody's keeping it for you right now. That's why he said there is a labor that God has given to the sinner. Let him continue to gather and gather so that God will now find it gathered together when he wants to give it to the one that is pleasing to him. When you see a man chopping too much money, don't be angry. Let him embezzle, this is his problem. Put it in Swiss account, I don't care. Wealth has wings, it can fly across the sea. Are you getting the point I am making? Now, having borne that in mind, that wealth is a kingdom, God gives it to somebody. He takes it from one person and gives to another. I talked about having the king's mentality, having the heart that is ready to receive from God. Once you have that heart, it's an automatic thing. You see, there's one thing. You see, I don't want to read too many scriptures. Let me just quote them. If you go to Isaiah chapter 40, he said, make a path for the Lord in the wilderness. He said, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. That's verse 4. He said, let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough plain become a ground, and the rocky terrain a broad valley. Then, verse 5, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. What I'm saying is that every time there is an adequate preparation, God always comes through. Did you hear what I said? He told Moses, go and tell the children of Israel, let them sanctify themselves today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will come down. Automatically, once God sees a preparation, he comes down. I recommend the track, The Visitation of God. Go and read it. If it's not available here, check it on the internet. It's there. The Visitation of God. That God has what I call the principle of the third day. He gets you ready. Then on the third day, he does not need to be begged. He comes automatically. Do you follow my point? That is your own portion, therefore, is to get ready on the first and second days. What do? You get your heart ready into this king's mentality. And the due season is automatic. It says, such were they in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking. They were marrying and were being given in marriage until, that's the point I want you to understand, Noah entered the ark. The same thing, until, that word until is what I wanted to get. There is something God is watching out for. The moment that thing clicks, everything else falls. He said, when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain. That is, some things are automatic. The problem is that Christians spend too much time praying for what they need to prepare for. Are you getting my point? Let me give let me just give an example. Sorry, old sisters, it will help you, Sha. I have seen women who are not married. And when they talk to a man, like Mike Murdock, you know, a man needs to be a pervert. He needs to be a pervert, to chase that woman. Or to be cursed by God. One of the two. You know what a pervert is? Somebody who's not normal. Mike Murdock said, it would be pervert for a man to pursue pain. There was a day I went somewhere with my brother. And we entered the house. A lady's there. So one lady there, she greeted me so nicely, was speaking Yoruba, used very respectful tones and everything. So after they left, my brother and I were, he said, do you know why she was behaving like that? Told me how old she was, and that she wasn't married, and that her mother told her that, with all this, your mouth is still too sharp. That one day her mother sat her down, dressed her down properly. And since that day, she learned to respect people. When I was a young man, I was still unmarried. I used to tell some of my lady friends, I said, listen, all you women, especially the ones I know have bad behavior. I said, the way you are like this, you can never get a good husband. Look, there was one I did it to, it was not funny. We met somewhere, we're now leaving. We came in separately to a friend's house. So I came with the car. So when we were leaving, she just joined me in the ride and started the misbehavior I knew her for. At that point, I put the car in reverse and drove back to the house we were coming from. I said, people, I want to tell you something. I want to tell her something in your presence. Say what? Her character is too bad. She can never get a good husband. And I said, no, there's nothing. I turned around and left again. I noticed after that she changed. No, really, 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 she changed. What I'm saying is this. If you are praying for a good husband, just behave well. That's all. You know, just be a good wife. If you are praying for a good wife, just prepare to be a good husband. That is all. One lady was talking to me once, a colleague. In fact, one of the things I used to tell women then is that, especially when they treat me anyhow, I look at someone and I say, look at me. I am the kind of husband you should be praying for, and you are treating me like this. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not joking. I use those words. I said, it's my type that you should be your husband. So when you see people like me, you should behave yourself properly. You should be respectful. You should be cautious in your speech. I mean, I should go to sleep dreaming about you. The way you have behaved like this, even if I wanted to aim my prayer your direction, I face it into the sky. Otoro, I'm telling you the truth. Gaskiani, I'm telling you, what I have told you is the truth. Listen, what people need, I like one thing my pastor in Lagos used to say, is that the husband God brought by 10 steps, you will scatter with one step of bad behavior. I remember a lady once, one of my friends was telling me, I just saw he was moody. What was the problem? One lady demonstrated, in his presence. And actually, he had been gearing up to go and chase the girl. You know what I mean? And so you mean this is the woman I wanted to go and try and marry. So he was feeling very bad. Say, hey, now some man, they enter trouble for this life. I don't have to tell you that he changed his mind that day. That is, I like one message Chris Okotie preached once. He talked about praying and watching. He said, when you are praying for something, you should be watching out for it also. He described a situation in which his car was bad and needed to get to church. So he was praying that God, please, send me somebody to take me to church. And he was looking at the bad car. It was in the mechanic. Then suddenly, he will see one of the church members drive by. So he will jump. Kingsley. The Kingsley has gone. So he's praying, God, please, send somebody to take me to church. And he will be looking at the bad car with the mechanic. And that one will drive by. Then he will jump and shout. Then he don't know him that, look, if God is going to send somebody, better stand beside the road so that the person will see you there. I said, there is what is called the third day, which John the Baptist represented. John the Baptist came preaching a baptism for the remission of sin, for the forgiveness of sins. And he represented the first and second days. And the third day was the coming of Jesus. That's why he used to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's the message, repentance. What does it mean to repent? Start thinking the way God wants you to think. God said, my ways are not your ways. As the word is, he said, you find out that when I want to get results, I send my word like I'm pouring forth water. If it's going to land upon you, better start thinking like I'm thinking. I'm rewriting it. You understand my point? Repentance is simple. Start thinking the way God is thinking. That's what I call the king's mentality. Once your heart is full with what God wants, instantly, the glory of God will be revealed. Where did I say we should open to? Leviticus chapter, I think it's 19. I was studying my Bible early this morning and I saw it. I said, God, thank you for giving me a message to preach today. You know, sometimes if you come home and you come, you don't find anything to preach. It's not good. Now, I won't read everything, but I wanted to get to one point. Did I say chapter 19? Okay, I know why I said 19. I started reading this morning from 19. I was reading something, but I now read into 20. So it's 20 we are supposed to be going to. Alright? I can't even remember when I jumped from 19 to 20. Now, if you read from around verse 10, it began to discuss sins of sexual immorality. And it discussed many things, 10, 12, 13, 14. And then it now got to verse 22, after discussing all kinds of sexual immorality that these people had as a problem, he said, you are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them, so that the land to which I am bringing you to live will not spill you out. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nation which I shall drive out before you. For they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them. Hence I have said to you, God said, you are to possess the land, and I myself will give it to you to possess it. A land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. Now this is what I want you to understand. God said, don't do these things. He said, these were the things they did, and therefore I'm taking them out and I'm bringing you in. Do you follow my point? That is what they get, that what those people got as a consequence, that is, when God was driving them out, it was a consequence of what they were doing. Do you follow me? If you go back to chapter 18, verse 25. You see, God said, for the land has become defiled. Therefore, I have visited his punishment upon it. So the land has spewed out its inhabitants. And he warned the people that if they do the same things, they will experience the same judgment. This is what I'm saying. We talked about kingdoms, being God taking it from one person and giving to another. God is saying, therefore, children of God, listen. I am taking this wealth and prosperity from the world because there are certain things they do or they don't do that I am judging them for. I am going to give it to you as long as you will not do what they are doing and refuse to do what they refuse to do. Do you understand my point? That is, if you do, let me give a practical example. One guy was preaching in church one day, and he gave an example of one guy, Nigerian, who won a lottery. I think I told you the story, in the US. Maybe about $40 million lottery. You know the next thing he did? He packed his things and said he was going home. Wanted to come and start causing trouble in River State, join politics. The moment he arrived, either he fell sick and died, or somebody shot him and he died. One thing happened, he died. That is, wealth came upon him, but he didn't have the heart to receive it, so he lost it instantly. Do you understand the point I am making? There are people who are praying for money every day, so that people will know day two they have arrived. No, it's true. His plan for wealth is I buy a big Lincoln Navigator, black, tinted glasses, heavy chromes around the sides. And then I will now put the plate number there. What do I call it now? Maybe. The man has come, one. Then the next vehicle is the man has come, two. So they will know my God is good. Arrant nonsense. God doesn't need you to prove that he's good like that. Do you understand the point I am making? You know, people sometimes they deceive themselves. Say, God said, know how much money I will be able to give him. I say, God knows. You know how? You know how many he knows? Nothing. He knows he won't get anything from your hand. Why? Because last year he gave you 1,000 naira. He didn't see copper from it. And it is acceptable according to what the man has, not according to what he doesn't have. So God says, you can't deceive me. I see your heart very well. But the point I'm making here is this. What one needs to know is that there is a heart attitude and mentality that automatically attracts prosperity. Do you follow my point? And that's what we have been going through all these days, trying to infuse into people. I beg everybody here, make sure you have every single copy of those tapes and listen to them again and again and again. Because remember, what moves your heart are the words that you hear. And if your heart, guarded by the word, like we read from Proverbs chapter 4, if you read from verse 20, say, attend to my words, incline your ears to my saying. Don't let them depart from your heart. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to all that find them. Then jump down to 23 and said, therefore I'm telling you, guard your heart with all diligence, because from it flows forth the issues of life. If those words that we spoke, everything is entirety, you grab it totally with your heart, listen, you won't beg for prosperity. You will not pray for it. What will just happen is that you just walk into it. Do you follow my point? That is what is called due season. Listen, Paul said, labor to enter into rest. Why do you labor? You labor in the word. He said, because the word was preached to them, but it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of them that heard it. That is, the labor is simple. In the word and in uniting it with faith in your heart. Let's go back again and listen to that tip. Releasing the power that's in the word. The second hearing. Listen, it doesn't work in one day, in 2 days. But listen, it does not ever fail. Once the heart is right, once everything is together, what am I talking about, the heart being right? You have come to understand God's purpose for prosperity. You are not laying up money because you are afraid of tomorrow. You know, God can judge your heart. I explained to us before, two people can have the same set of actions, but both actions, though identical in themselves, are stimulated by different states of heart. Very good proverb from my place also. Sorry, I'm always quoting proverbs from my zone. He said, if you see an adult that's running in the afternoon, either he's pursuing something or something is pursuing him. But you just see the man is running. What I'm saying is that you see the act of running, but it can be because he's running after something, or because something is running after him. But God, who sees all things, who everything is laid bare before his eyes, knows what is inside the man, why he's really running. There are people who are going into business. I was preaching one day in church, and I just said that thing by inspiration, I'm sure. I said, most of the businesses you have done, why it has not worked, because you were doing it for money. That is, you sit down. Have you heard? I heard that preachers are now buying music equipment. Let's start. Look. It will sell. Yesterday, you were not even selling anything. You were maybe singing somewhere, or writing a book, or teaching somewhere, or cooking somewhere. Then suddenly somebody tells you, this will sell. So you put money together, and you go and buy music equipment, and it arrives. And because God refuses to pour water upon the seed that you sowed, because it didn't lead you in that direction, you go broke. And you join the statistics of the, is it 90% of businesses, small businesses, that collapse within the first 1 or 2 years. Why? Because they were born out of the fear of tomorrow, out of covetousness. However, the king's mentality, there is a seed God has placed in somebody's heart. And he looks and he says, all these preachers that preach anyhow and record bad cassettes, how can we make these things really good? You understand my point? How must they buy a small microphone for 25,000 naira? So you just look at it and why must these things be so costly? And then one day, maybe you meet with some people somewhere and they have very good working one that's coming at less than a quarter of the prevailing market price. But you are now manufacturing them somewhere in Asia or South America. And then you carry everything down. Remember, the thing that motivated you is different from the other man's own. And God will now pour water upon the seed that you have sown. Then somebody wake up and say, low price equipment is selling now. No, that's not how it started. It started because you had a desire. Listen to the table, the one with title, The Noble Desire. Like Solomon. We had a desire to be a blessing to people. Do you follow the point? Because of that, God pours water upon the seed that you have sowed. That's the king's mentality. There is a king's mentality that there were people who supported the ministry of Jesus. Winners Chapel, that's Bishop Oedipo. They used to be on TV live during breakthrough seminars in OGTV in Lagos. That's Ogun State, but I used to see it in Lagos. And I knew that Bishop at that time had a policy against going on TV. So I said, how is he doing this? When did they change? And if he wanted to go on TV, no be Lagos, he go start. Where Ogun State? I found out that some brethren decided that their whole state must hear what Bishop is saying during breakthrough seminars. So they put money together and paid for airtime. And they will carry Ogun State people there to come and film it. That is, the desire was simple. Just to spread the word of God. If that guy sells akara, it will sell. Do you follow my point? The king's mentality, that a heart attitude that is moved by the kingdom of God, by the desire to be a blessing, not minding to lose his life for other people's sake. That is life now, talking about money. Just to be a blessing. God, I told you, it's not every seed that will receive a harvest. You know, I've told you that before. If you plant seed, does not guarantee anything. If God does not pour water upon the seed you have sown in the dry ground, nothing will come out of it. The king's mentality, that is, you look and say, this is how I'm going to be a blessing in this life. You know, I've told you, I can never be a poor man. It's not possible. Because if I am poor, too many people won't go to school. Too many people. If I am poor, there are too many good things that will not be done in this land. If I am poor, listen, I will not be able to sow enough seed to produce prosperity in the land of Nigeria. I can never be poor. It's not safe. God can't allow it. It's not safe. It's an unsafe thing. You know, it's dangerous to people's lives to allow banking remain a poor man. It's dangerous. Get my point? It cannot happen. It can't happen. It is not possible that you will look back and say, that guy said he was going to breach, but look at him, now he's poor. It will never happen. There are no devils enough in hell to effect it. They are not enough. They can't kill me. They can't keep me poor. Listen to me. It is not possible. I made a vow before God long ago. That is why I run away from every appearance of chasing after money. Like Abraham said, I have sworn before God, I won't take anything from you. To King of Sodom. Lest you say, I made Abraham rich. Are you getting the point I am making? Listen, can never be a poor man. I will be a failure if I become a poor man. And I cannot fail. Because greater is he that lives in me than he that lives in the world. If Nigeria wants to break forth into war, all I need to do is sleep in that country that day. They can't shoot a gun. Listen to me. There is what Bible calls, do my prophets no harm. And he was talking about how God led them from one nation to another. Was he talking about Elijah? No. Was he talking about Elisha? He was talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the children of Israel. He said, he suffered no man to do them wrong, saying, touch my, not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. A man of God explained that thing, and it never left my heart. That the prophets of God are those that God shaped the events of the earth to surround, I mean, according to his plan for their lives. Are you getting my point? Listen, I am anointed. I am an anointed man, and I am a prophet of God. I don't mean that I am a preacher. It's a different matter. Can never be poor. I'm telling you the honest truth. Look, I'm telling you the truth though. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, let me say it again. The devil that can try it, let him gather his arms and start. I can never be a poor man. Because I am the light of the world. God himself said, if a man lights a light, does he put it under a bushel? Will God himself put it under a bushel? So God called me the light of the world. He has the responsibility to put me on the lampstand. You see the calculation now? It's very, very simple. It's very simple. It's a matter of the word of God. It's not of him that wills. I told you before, it's not a decision. What is it? Kingsley, remember. What? I said it's not a decision. What is it? It's a discovery. Thank you. It wasn't like I woke up and said, me too, I must have money. No, I read the Bible and discovered that, no, this is how God made it. That's the king's mentality. Listen, when they say the masses, do you know, it has never crossed my mind that they are talking to me. No, God is my witness. When they say the masses, mass, you know what mass means? Mass of everything. Everything is uniform. None of them is specific. Everything is just one nebulous gathering of all kinds of insignificant people. I cannot be the masses. It is not a possible thing that I, Banky, will be the masses. No. Listen, God will cause prosperity to flow towards me from every angle. I used to say they are flowing. Now they are flying because I just discovered that they fly. They fly. But it doesn't come out of one that is trying. It comes out of the heart that is ready. And God will tell the birds as they fly, fly in that direction. Shebi, they say that's what wealth does. It grows wings. It's the word of God. It's not my idea. Please, again, I beg you, go and read that book, that tract, Daniel. Like I always say, it is the story of my life. It's a king's mentality. And when the heart is ready and everything is together, he said, the glory of God will then come down. Read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5. Let us pray. Come on, let's just give God thanks for his goodness and his word that he has given to us today. Remember, I said at the beginning that we are going to be blessed today. I knew I was going to be blessed myself, that God was going to send his word down. And I, preaching myself, I have heard it. And have been blessed. So I want us to just give God thanks. And make our dedication again. That God, I will not do what the rich men of the earth, of the world, what they do. No. I will do what you want me to do. I will learn the king's mentality. There's one king's mentality I want to read as we go from Daniel. I was saying that, just listen to this for a moment. Let's listen to this for a moment. There was a time that Daniel and the king dreamt, Nebuchadnezzar, and he called Daniel to interpret. He said the decree of the watchers was that they would cut him down. You know the story, I don't want to go into details. Daniel chapter 4. He now said, what God wants to effect by everything that will happen to Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 5. And chapter 25, and sorry, verse 25, said that you will be driven from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field, and you will be given grass to eat like the cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven, until seven periods of time will pass over you. Until, notice that, and seven periods will pass over, until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Listen, What God is saying here is this: the king's heart must recognize who's in charge.